Excellent. Well, our reading this morning will be from Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. And we'll read through this chapter. And it begins in verse 1 with, "After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the land into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh and Naphtali, and said to him, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go and take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to give to the Kishon River and give him into your hands.' Barak said to her, 'If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go.' 'Very well,' Deborah said, 'I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman.' So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim, near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him, from Harosheth-Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?' So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth-Hagoyim, and all the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because they were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid.' So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. 'I'm thirsty,' she said. 'Please give me some water.' She opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him up. 'Stand in the doorway of the tent,' he told her. 'If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no.' But Jael, Hebel's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the pent through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. 'Come,' she said, 'I will show you the man you're looking for.' So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him." Right. This used to be a car bumper sticker when I was a little bit younger. I thought it was quite an apt heading for our topic today. Well, recently we've done a number of character studies of people in the Bible. Most recently we've done Nehemiah. We did Ezra before that. We've also looked at Paul in recent times as well. And Peter is another one who springs to mind. And I guess Abraham in times gone by as well. And you might be able to think of others that we've studied in the past or we've considered as part of our Sunday morning ministries. And there's a lot of value in doing a study of biblical characters, their strengths and their weaknesses, what we can learn from them, their example, and how they approach things. And Nehemiah, I guess, was the most recent example we considered, and I think we all of us got a lot out of that book and learning about Nehemiah as a character. In fact, I was so impressed with Nehemiah, I'd like to nominate him for mayoralty of the Christchurch City Council. Although, to be fair to our current leadership, Nehemiah probably had more experience herding sheep than herding cats. But anyway, today we're going to consider Deborah. In my years here, I cannot recall us doing a character study of a woman in the Bible, although I might be wrong in saying that. But I think that's kind of interesting in itself that we haven't really done much in the way of studies of women in the Bible. And there are a number of notable women in the Bible. I think I read somewhere there's something like 188 in total that are mentioned. That might be a bit on the low side, but here's some examples of women of significance. Mary obviously had a strong, significant role being the mother of Jesus, Martha, Elizabeth, Miriam, Ruth, Sarah, Eve. Esther was one that we considered just last week and had a strong role in saving her nation. Priscilla, Dorcas or Tabitha, Lois and Eunice. And interestingly, much of what they did is actually understated. Give you an example, 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is speaking about giving thanks to God for Timothy, but he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Now, what a tremendous compliment that is to Lois and Eunice when you think about it. I think we can assume quite a lot that Timothy's grandmother taught Timothy many things about the Bible, and they seem to be very diligent students of God's word as well. Elizabeth, Jesus said of John the Baptist, "Among those born of women there, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." And I think again we can read into the work that Elizabeth and Zechariah did in terms of teaching John the Baptist from an early age the ways of God. So back to Judges chapter 4. Well, this is a fairly unusual chapter for a few reasons. It has an element of surprise to it, it has an element of humor to it, and it has an element of the grotesque in it as well. So what do we learn about Deborah? She's a judge and a prophet. She holds court. She's a prophetess. She's the wife of someone called Lapidoth, who doesn't get a lot of mention. She's also described in chapter 5, verse 7, as a mother in Israel. Whether she was a biological mother, I'm not sure, but that's how she's described in chapter 5, verse 7. And there are three qualities of Deborah which I think are particularly worth mentioning today: leadership, courage, and wisdom. So the context for Deborah's involvement here, well, it's an all too familiar pattern, really. It starts off by saying that the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, and Sisera was the commander of his army. And this is a sort of a something that repeats itself often throughout the Old Testament. The Israelites doing evil, going against God's will, his wishes, suffering for that, coming to a state of repentance, and then being delivered from that through God's faithfulness. So anyway, the Israelites are once again being persecuted by Sisera and Jabin, and they cried out to the Lord for help. And Deborah was one of those rulers or judges in this book whose role it was to seek guidance from God through prayer and then to make a ruling. They were considered to be prophets who also spoke a word from God, I guess the judges as well. Other than that, we don't really know a lot more in terms of personal information about Deborah. But it's interesting to see what she does here. She summons Barak and tells him to take 10,000 troops up to Mount Tabor to confront Sisera. And Barak says to Deborah in verse 8, I'll go with, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, many commentators think that Barak was basically a very timid character, probably a bit scared, a bit of a wimp, perhaps we could say. Others have surmised that perhaps he didn't like being bossed around by a woman. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I suspect it was the timid nature of his character. But anyway, the outcome was that the Israelite warriors won the day. God gave the army of Sisera into their hands, and Deborah's prediction came true, that Sisera would be defeated by the hand of a woman. Now, when I first read that verse, I thought Deborah was referring to herself, that she would get all the glory for defeating Sisera and Tabun, and that she would get the glory for going with Barak. But Deborah wasn't talking about herself at all. She was referring to Jael, a tent peg wielding Kenite woman. And in verse 18, we see Jael introduced. She says to Sisera, come, my lord, come right in. Come into my web, said the spider to the fly. And then she acts in the most unfeminine way imaginable by nailing the skull of Israelite's main enemy to the floor. What a lot of strength that must have taken to have done that. The outcome was that their main enemy was defeated. And Deborah in chapter 5 gives honour and tribute to God for his role in that help that he gave her and Barak. And furthermore, in chapter 5, verse 31, which we didn't read, we see that the land had peace for 40 years. So, I thought this was quite a thought-provoking chapter for a number of reasons, and I just want to briefly summarise some points for reflection, I guess, this morning. One theory one commentator mentioned in this chapter is that God uses a woman where a good man can't be found. Perhaps there's some truth in that, but I think in this story it reads to me that God uses Deborah as his main option. Some people have asked why Deborah does not appear in the list of people commended for their faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Some have speculated that having a woman leading is wrong, and that's why she's excluded from the list. However, Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But people like Mary and Daniel and Joseph are not. I don't think there's anything we should read into that, but it seems to me that the writer of the Hebrews is often using examples of weak characters to highlight them as people of faith. And that is a real encouragement to us. So, points for reflection. I believe in this chapter we learn that God used Deborah and his faithfulness and obedience for him to be a leader in her day, which resulted in a significant outcome for Israel. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I think one of the points of reflection for me is that just because it might have been dishonouring to be outdone by a woman in Deborah's day, that doesn't mean that God sees women as less. Women are just as important and valued as men, and they are to be honoured and rewarded for their work as highly as men are for their work. An example in the New Testament is that of Priscilla. Several times Paul mentions Priscilla before her husband Aquila. And Deborah's courage and wisdom is something that is honoured in this chapter. A hotly debated issue in the church today is the role of women serving in the church. And I guess that there are some women who believe that women should not serve as pastors. And there are probably some men who believe that women can serve as preachers when there are no restrictions, and that there are no restrictions on women in ministry. And I, for myself, acknowledge that the Bible does speak clearly on specific examples of ministry and the role of women in them. Where I think we need to exercise caution is about inventing rules for ourselves that puts into practice restrictions that are based on human traditions rather than anything the Bible actually says or expressly forbids. And an example of that is in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, the example of Phoebe, who is a deaconess. She's described as a servant. How she served is not defined, but there are many different ways that people can serve or minister to others. Conditional obedience. Well, here's an example of Barak in this chapter. He says to Deborah, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." I think underlying this comment is a more significant spiritual message, that sometimes if God asks us to do something and we tell him, "Yes, okay, but," we put a condition on it. And what we see in this chapter is that when we put conditions on our obedience, God isn't the one who loses. We're the one who loses, because God can achieve his outcome or his purposes whatever way he wishes, and it's up to us to obey or not obey. Our attitudes. I just want to, I guess, acknowledge and say that I think we should not undervalue or underestimate the importance of the contribution of women in the church. And I would like to challenge us to say, when was the last time we last said something encouraging to a woman for their service in the church? I don't think we have to go looking very far to see some examples. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 11 says this: "Charm can be deceiving, but beauty fades away. But a woman who honours the Lord deserves to be praised. Show her respect and praise her in public for what she has done." I just want to give a really simple example of this. I know quite a few young mums now, and my experience of knowing all of them is that they get up early in the morning. Sometimes they don't get to bed till 1, 2 a.m. Sometimes they're up in between. They don't have tea breaks. They don't have lunch breaks. They don't have annual leave. When they're sick, they don't get sick leave. Sometimes they miss out on meals altogether. And sometimes they beat themselves up for not being more godly than what they're already doing, when in actual fact, they're doing an incredible and an amazing job. And I think that this verse is a good example for them, or good relevance for them, to show respect. Because that actually, Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the role of the woman as a mother, but not just as a mother, as a worker and as a servant and as all kinds of aspects of society. Partnerships. Paul describes Priscilla and Aquila as my co-workers in Christ Jesus. And Priscilla and Aquila worked together as a husband and wife team. He began to, this is what Acts chapter 18 verse 26 says. "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." The power of partnership, working together as a husband and wife team. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a husband and wife team, although that's a good place to start. I guess Deborah and Barak are a good example of that. Deborah didn't abandon Barak for his lack of faith or for his timidity. Rather, she accompanied him and provided strength in accomplishing God's purpose. So in conclusion, I just want to put up a slide of some photos of some contemporary examples of Christian women who are leaders in serving God. And they all, to me, are examples of women who fear God and seek to serve him in a to the best of their ability. And I want to particularly mention the Queen because I think I would like to encourage you to read her the text of her last two Christmas messages, her last two Christmas speeches. She has a very rare opportunity to actually say what's on her mind because she has to be seen, I guess, as kind of independent. But those opportunities she takes, if you listen to the way she honours God and speaks about the things of God in those messages, I think is really amazing. And I was particularly struck by her most recent Christmas message. The text of that is freely available on the internet if you want to go and read it. So that's all I really have to say this morning, so we'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the example of Deborah. Thank you for the example of godly Christian women in the Bible who are inspirational to us, for their role and their service to you. Thank you for the many examples of Christian women serving today and for their influence in your ministry, for the many different roles that women have had in our lives in either bringing us up or sharing something about your love. Lord, please bless them all today, everyone here, all the women here among us today in particular. Thank you for your kindness to us, and thank you for being with us today. In your name, amen.